If God's as busy as perhaps you and I are, well, then maybe Easter is just another long weekend, time for a rest. But if God knows us personally, then Easter takes on a whole new meaning. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Great to be back with you again today as we take a look at Easter from a different perspective. And please do stick with me, because at the end of today's message, I'll be telling you about our latest life application booklet, The Shocking Truth About You, Me, and Barabbas. It's so easy to look at Easter as just another long weekend, you know, a chance for a bit of a breather from work. I mean, it's a busy world we live in, rushing around as we mostly do. God must be busy too. I mean, he's got so much on his mind. There's global warming, there's terrorism, there's famine, starvation, poverty, there are wars. God is one busy God. So what does Easter have to do with you and me? If everyone's so busy, God included, maybe it's just another retail event. Maybe God is too busy for us, well, for Easter to be personal. But what if it is personal? What if God knows us ultimately better than even we know ourselves? Then Easter becomes something entirely different. But does he? Does he know us that well? And is he that interested in you and me? They're very good questions. So as we look ahead to Easter over these next couple of weeks, and that's what we're doing on the program, getting in a bit early to have a good hard look at this whole Easter thing, it's a good time for us to think about what God was up to. I mean, Christmas seems like it was just a few weeks away. It's the time we celebrated Jesus becoming a man and the whole baby in the manger thing. But Easter for Jesus wasn't just a few months after Christmas. Easter happened about 33 years after that first Christmas. It was a time called the Passover celebration. And the Passover was a time, in fact it still is, when Israel celebrates their release from slavery in Egypt centuries before. Israel were slaves in Egypt, and God sent a number of plagues on the Egyptians, and the last plague was the death of the firstborn in every family. Now the Israelites were told to take a lamb and to kill it, and to take the blood of the lamb and paint it on the top of the doorposts. Then the angel of death that was bringing this plague would pass over their homes, which is what happened. And so this time, Easter, was a time when Israel was celebrating the Passover celebration, the time that we now remember that not only Jesus came to earth as a man, he not only walked through all the trials and all the temptations that you and I have to walk through, he not only healed the sick and cast out demons, he not only preached with power, but he laid down his life for you and me on that cross. Now, we'll look at how and why of that over the coming days. Easter begins long, long before that. You look at God and you say, God, what were you doing at Easter? Why did you go to that extreme? What was it all about? Why do you send your son, who never made a mistake, who'd never sinned, why do you send your son and then let him be beaten and crucified on a cross? There's a bit of SMS shorthand called to die for. You know, when the kids use their mobile phones and they send text messages to one another, they often use the term to die for, the number 2, the letters D-I, and then the number 4, to die for. It's shorthand for something that you just have to have. Maybe it's a new mobile phone, and that new mobile phone is to die for. Or maybe a girl sends a text about a boy she's just seen, and he's to die for. That's what Easter's about. God was prepared to send his son to die for you and me. We, in God's eyes, are to die for. In his eyes, in his heart, he would die to get us back. Let's unpack this idea for a little bit and go and have a look at what was going on inside the Father's great and mighty heart, what he was thinking about when it came to you and me, when he hatched this Easter plan. If you've got a Bible, grab it. We're going to have a look at Psalm 139. Easter's a hard thing to get our hearts and our minds around, but this psalm is a place to start. It talks about what drove God towards this amazing plan that we now call Easter. One of my favourite psalms, you'll hear me come back to it again and again. Here we go. Lord, you've searched me. You know me. You know when I sit down. You know when I rise up. You know my thoughts from far off. You discern my going in and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord.
You hem me in behind me and before me. You've laid your hands upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I flee from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the farthest side of the sea, even there, your right hand will guide me. You'll hold me fast. If I say, surely darkness will hide me and the light will become night around me. God, even darkness isn't dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for the darkness is like a light to you. It's a beautiful passage. And it tells us a few things. Firstly, God knows us intimately. Lord, you've searched me. You know me. You know when I get up, when I sit down. You know my thoughts from far away. You know everything about me. Secondly, God's on the journey with us. You hem me in front of me, behind me. You've laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is just too wonderful for me. And thirdly, God is there even in the dark places. Even when the darkness hides us and the light around us becomes night, the darkness won't be dark to him. The night will shine like day because God is in that dark place with us. You see, the reason that this psalm for me lays the foundations for Easter is that it tells me about a God who knows me intimately, not some far-off God, not some distant God, not some unmoved mover who pulls strings just like a marionette play. No, a God with a close, intimate knowledge. It's hard for us to fathom. I mean, billions of people have lived on this earth down through the ages, yet he knows each one of us so intimately, so perfectly. I have a friend who has a large family. He has 11 children. You know, he has no less love for each of the 11 than I have for my 3. And that's how God is. God knows each one of his children intimately, and it's such an awesome thing to think about that. The fact that God knows you, God knows me intimately, every hair on our heads, every thought, every hope, every dream, every disappointment, every hurt, every step of every day, every breath that we take. I wonder whether you mightn't just grab a pen right now and just jot down the areas of your life where you feel alone. Maybe it's in a relationship, or maybe it's in your work, or maybe it's in your finances. You know, those parts of your life right now where it feels like there's a darkness, a heaviness, a loneliness, and then contemplate these beautiful words from Psalm 139. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light will become night around me. God, even the darkness won't be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for the darkness is as light to you. It's one of the things behind Easter. He knows us so well. We're so much his children. He wants to shine light into our darkness. And as we look back on Easter, I'd encourage you to search him out, not just in those parts of your life that might be going well, but especially in those dark patches. Psalm 139 is so beautiful because it talks about God's great love for us, his incredible love that he lavishes on us through Jesus Christ. If God didn't know us personally, if he was such a busy God that he couldn't take the time to know us, Easter wouldn't mean that much. But he does. He knows every hair, every wrinkle, every blemish, every mistake, everything about us. And that's why he sent his son at Easter. That's why he sent Jesus, to pay for our mistakes at Easter, because he loves us so much. As we head towards Easter, we don't always think about the fact that what happened back there on that Passover was a huge injustice. And unless we understand that injustice, it's nigh on impossible to wrap your heart around the amazing love of God for you in Jesus Christ. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application e-booklet. It's called The Shocking Truth About You, Me and Barabbas. And it's all about helping you come to grips with just how much God loves you. To request your free copy, stop by at ChristianityWorks.com and you'll see that free offer right there towards the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. That web address again, in case you missed it, is ChristianityWorks.com. Hey, thanks so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond. I'll catch you again, same time tomorrow, with a different perspective.